slow growth in China. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. Investors have been concerned about slow growth in Europe. Now there's more evidence of a slowdown in China. We just learned the world's second largest economy grew at a rate of 7.3% last quarter. It hasn't grown at a pace that slow since 2009. And while the gross domestic product number is not all bad, China is going to have a hard time hitting a goal for growth it's set for the year. Julian Evans-Pritchard is on the line. He's with Capital Economics in Singapore. Hey there, Julian.
Hi.
So first of all, what accounts for this, the slowest growth that we've seen in 5 years?
So I think it's very much concentrated in the property sector. So we haven't got the full breakdown of GDP by industry yet. But I mean, in previous quarters, once we've looked at the full breakdown, we've seen actually it's really all been in the real estate sector, which grew at just 2% year on year last quarter. That's very much where the weakness is. Other areas of the economy seem to be holding up quite well. The labor market in particular has been surprisingly resilient. So on the one hand, you have the weakness in the property sector, but on the other hand, the rest of the economy still seems healthy.
And just for some context here, I mean, how big a part of the Chinese economy is property, is real estate?
Well, property, we estimate it to be about 10% of GDP. But if you add on related industries, then that number can get higher, possibly as high as 20%.
China's had this annual growth target, which it's hit every year now for more than a decade. And I just wonder how big a deal it would be if China were not to hit that this year.
They've tried to introduce a bit more flexibility into the target over the last 2 years. So now it's about 7.5%. The key focus now is particularly on the labor market, on rebalancing. Given that the labor market still looks quite healthy, policymakers in this instance will be a lot more willing to allow the final growth number for the year to come in a little bit below the 7.5% level. So they have a bit of leeway around this target, and they're not going to be too worried about letting growth fall slightly below.
Julian Evans-Pritchard is an economist with Capital Economics in Singapore. Julian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. On that GDP news, Japan's Nikkei is down 2.03%, 307 points, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong is up just slightly. In Europe, the FT 100 is up 0.79% at 6,316, and the German DAX is up 1.43%. It's at 8,842.69. Dow futures, S&P futures, and NASDAQ futures are all up. There have been three cases of Ebola in the United States. Thomas Eric Duncan died of the disease, and two nurses who cared for him are undergoing treatment. While the outbreak has been largely limited to West Africa, local communities here are feeling the effects of this disease in other ways. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson visited Staten Island in New York City, home to one of the largest Liberian communities in the U.S.
Five, six.
Kelly Brown counts out a stack of $20 bills on the counter of a Western Union.
I'm sending money to Liberia.
7, 8, 9, 10.
What's the fee?
$10.50.
Brown's lived in Staten Island for about 15 years now. Like other Liberians here, he followed family during the country's civil war. But much of his family is still in Liberia, one of the country's hardest hit by Ebola. Nearly 2,500 people have died there from the disease. Brown says basic items have become much more expensive, and family members are staying home from work.
My cousins who cannot go out in the street to sell water definitely are calling me on a daily basis. Oh, Uncle Telly, how am I going to make it? I don't have food.
So in recent months, he started sending back about $300 a month, double what he used to. And he's fundraising for the Staten Island Liberians Ebola Fund. But coming up with extra cash each month means things are tight for Brown and his family here in New York.
It makes me to reduce the amount of milk that I used to drink. If I maybe eat three times a day, I'll have to save on a meal and eat two times a day.
And that can have ripple effects in the local economy. One place Brown's cutting back is in trips to an outdoor market that sells traditional West African food, like hot sauces and cooked meats. Vendor Sony Sema talks with a visitor, Solomon Reeves.
Nobody got money now to buy food, to eat. Because every day, you got to sell 200, 300, or 500. for Africa for a family. So in meanwhile, we don't got no money.
Any money you get, you send it home, so you don't have enough money to spend here.
Yeah.
Sema says she's now worried about paying rent. But it's not just the money that's keeping people away. Solomon Reeves says there's also a lot of fear about who might have traveled to West Africa recently.
Because of the Ebola, people don't really come the way they used to come here. They're afraid.
Some vendors aren't coming either. There are only three tables.
Usually we can have up to 10, sometimes more than that.
Before he came to the market, Reeves said his wife told him to be careful. And he noticed recently that a friend didn't want to shake his hand. And there have been a couple reports of Liberians told to stay home from work. This is a community that's suffering economically and socially, all because of a disease where the closest diagnosed case is still over 1,000 miles away. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Finally, something New York Magazine flagged. A lecturer at Cambridge University has looked at the effects of coffee on both introverts and extroverts. After ingesting about 2 cups of coffee, he writes, extroverts carry out tasks more efficiently, whereas introverts perform less well. And this is especially true when there are numbers involved and there's time pressure. His advice for introverts, you shouldn't drink coffee right before a meeting, and it's better to have your coffee later in the day. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.